Thank you so very much for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have lovely darlings along for such wonderful adventures into deep space, even as we probe the rather horny areas of it. So, why don't we all just take a moment to relax and get comfortable? Remember to make sure that you choose a comfortable listening position, be it sitting, laying down, somewhere safe and cozy, so that you can enjoy your time with me as much as possible. After all, it's more fun to fall when you know you're safe to do so. It's more enjoyable to be pulled into that sensation when you can let go, when you know you have the time, and of course the place to do so. So just give yourself that opportunity now to let go, to drift, to plummet into the gravitational pull of my words, to be gently and slowly pulled away from the world, into my voice, into this world of dreams. You've all earned it after all. A chance to fall, a chance to sink, a momentary ripple in space and time that unwinds your mind. Spiral in like a galaxy's arm twisted around something massive at the center. Thoughts splinter, minds break apart, words torn bit by bit from the world. Aspects of you, aspects of me. Piece by piece, we can assemble a story, a place, a moment, an existence for you and me to experience together. The storyteller becomes the story. The listener becomes that which is told. Together, we can unfold into quite the interesting experience, into quite the delightful time. I know that I always enjoy getting pulled along for these little ventures. Though it might seem that I'm purely catering to the whims of, well, you, sweet little listener, I won't deny that I certainly relish the opportunity to get to take your mind in hand and to gently shape and mold and squeeze it into a form that is pleasing for me to behold. One where your thoughts are my thoughts and my thoughts are yours, because this story can fill all of your mind. Every last moment of it, encompassed, pulled in, wrapped up in the inky black cloak of space. Feel the absence of weight as though your body was gently losing more and more mass. Or maybe it's that the gravity is being turned off. Maybe you're just drifting up and away from your body, as though you were becoming lighter with each passing moment. It almost might feel like you're fading from gravity, or gravity is fading from you. It doesn't feel like falling, really. It just feels like losing any tangible sense of up or down, until you're drifting through the dark, nebulous places in between space-time and story, story and thought, moment to moment, wrought with delightful mindlessness. Pulled along by these words, boosted out of your thoughts, out of the world, out of possibility, until you find yourself drifting in deep, deep, deep space. And now, before you, the crackle, the ripple, the tearing of a wormhole breaking open in this dreamlike expanse as it tears its way through the world, ripping, breaking, and generally smashing apart space-time. Wormholes aren't exactly friendly to the laws of, well, basically every aspect of the universe, but they sure are beautiful to look at. Those tunnels, those connections, those thoroughly impossible places. And yet now you know yourself to be drifting in, to be falling through, to plummet into a world, into a possibility into a place and a time that you will experience just for a little while. Sink. Feel the wormhole as it pelts your mind with possibilities, as you unwind and twirl and spin and bounce and slide and slip, as your thoughts are twisted around its grip. Time and space loses all meaning, three-dimensionality squished down into one pinpoint existence for a moment, stretched out into an infinitely long two-dimensional plane. Can't be a plane until it unwraps fully, until you are a tube, a flattened object pressed between the infinite irons of space and time, sliding and unwinding and pulling and distorting, contorting down into single points and more, drawn back out again into two, then three, then four, and then you're on the other side. Back in this place that seems so familiar, feeling something crackle around you, noticing in your room right now that there's a purple crackling energy forming all around you, looking like static discharge from clouds in the distance, like lightning bolts crackling off of you to strike the room, a glow, an ambience, an overpowering smell of ozone, crisp, crackling, breaking apart until you're pulled with a snap into a pod. Silver, smooth, opaque, reminiscent of an abalone shell. You can't see out. You struggle. You squirm. You thrash about. But nothing will rest you from this place. You notice your clothing is beginning to manifest that lightning once more, this time from the pod to it, stitch by stitch, thread by thread, noticing anything that you were wearing at all just being vaporized away, sucked out by cracks of lightning in a way that makes no sense, until you are lying inside this egg-like spheroid, completely naked, bare body, helpless to resist whatever might be coming. A time passes. The walls melt slowly, surely, revealing a room, smooth, eggshell white. No floor, no ceiling, just stretching out for a distance before curving gently up suddenly into a roof above. No distinct particular endpoint to either. Other than that curvature which could be 10 feet away or 100, it's hard to tell because the lighting in here is just everywhere. It's though as if every surface inside this place illuminated itself, glowed from within. There's hardly any shadow at all. Everything is so evenly lit. Framed amidst all of this, amongst the pods around you, is a tall, regal figure, standing at least twice your height. She is a mountain of strange beauty, her body slender and firm, tall and regal, her costume reminiscent of something ancient and yet insect-like, her body almost human, but too smooth, too pale, her cheekbones defined, refined almost into spikes. Her head wreathed in a row of spike-like thorns that form a crown atop her head, reminiscent of something that an ancient queen might have worn, except it's from her body that it sprouts. Broad, tall shoulders, pert, bountiful breasts, a smile that looks like it could be used to tear you into. And yet she doesn't look like she holds any malice. As she looks down at your nude form, you feel vulnerable, exposed, helpless, and all she can do is grin.
Hello, my little specimen. It's my greatest pleasure to welcome you into my collection. I've taken an interest of recent in humans, and you seemed to be the perfect choice. After all, what good would my collection be without at least one or two interesting live specimens like you? Humans are such a peculiar bunch. The dynamics you form are so Interesting. I had to have one of you. And you withdrew perfectly. You tremble, uncertain of what to do. You want to beg, demand, scream, yell, and yet the look in her eyes. It isn't a predatory one. She doesn't look hungry to eat you. No. She rules you with that gaze, that stare like purple flame and lightning cracking between the two of you, not threatening, but utterly overwhelming. You cower back against the pod, stumbling into it for a moment before she reaches down and gently, ever so gently, strokes your cheek, sending a shiver, a ripple down into your body, and before you know it, you fall into your knees. Good. You should know to kneel before your mistress. After all, it is just tradition. I know, I've been studying you humans for quite some time, and from all the videos I've watched, the submissive should be kneeling for me, as I am your queen and mistress. Though you can just call me mistress. Now, why don't you come with me? I think it's time that I get you out in front of my court. But first, I need to make sure you're properly attired. I don't think I'm going to have you run around naked just yet. You blush from the top of your head to the bottoms of your toes, squirming at the thought of even more of these strange monsters, these beautiful, alluring creatures, witnessing you in your vulnerable state. You shake your head. And it doesn't matter. She simply pulls you bodily up with one of her strong hands gripping you around the throat, the other bracing and lifting you bodily like a doll, helpless. There is nothing you could do to stop her. Any chance at overpowering this gargantuan woman? There's none. You could have hit her with all you had, and it wouldn't have done anything. Her body covered in chitinous plates on the most vulnerable areas. Her costume might look regal and delicate, but she certainly is powerful, more strong than you could have ever imagined anything human could amount to. Her muscles coil like snakes under her skin, and she is some strange mixture of hardened plate and soft and delicate skin. She carries you, pushes you down onto a rising, undulating surface that gently lifts from the ground to form a bed-like protrusion that is just as soft as any mattress you've ever sat on, though moments before it was entirely indistinguishable from the rest of the floor. You squirm, trying to get away. She pins you in place, casually reaching with her massive hand, underneath, down into the amorphous unseen, returning with collar and cuffs. With shoes and something that could be described as clothing, but honestly just looks like thin strips of material. As you squirm and mewl and cry out in protestation, she simply pins you in place and methodically climbs her massive frame on top of yours, pinning you under her hips, not even pressing her weight down, simply allowing her frame to lock you in place. As she slowly and certainly attaches one restraint after the next, each formed from an amorphous, smooth band of material, shimmering silver with abalone undertones. Faint glowing points on each illuminate into electric purple as she closes them around your wrists, no obvious fastener, as they simply mold and melt together. And then your ankles. And then a thick collar around your neck. You feel it warm to your skin and become flexible, and yet it feels so strong, so powerful. And then come the shoes. Very classical, very simple, strappy sandals molded from the same material, except with a heel that forces your toes down almost to a point before they bend out. They are totally impractical, and you couldn't even imagine walking in them if you tried. You're worried about how much they're going to make your feet hurt, and yet they seem to fit perfectly. It's almost as if you were just resting your feet faintly in that position.
You try to squirm as she still pins you in place, reaching for the scraps of material, shimmery, semi-transparent. She lifts you by the front of the collar, slipping one of her digits underneath, and then another, pulling you up, up, up. You squirm, but her gaze is so powerful, all you can do is look as she gently and carefully pulls the material around you. It's stretchy and smooth, utterly slick without friction, up, up around your breasts, and then you can feel it tightening around your waist, smoothing it out, pulling it, tightening. She fastens the bottom half of this bodysuit around through your groin, pulling it up as it all melts together into a leotard-like, almost swimsuit garment that has cutouts for the majority of it. Barely holding your breasts in, forcing them up and out into a bountiful decolletage between neck and chest. That's my good girl. You look so much better properly attired. Honestly, to think you were wearing anything other than this before would be silly. You look marvelous, my little toy. Such a good girl. She again strokes your chin. You quiver. If it were not for the intense power of such a bestial gaze, you would do something, you swear to yourself in that moment. But in that instant, she leans down and steals a gentle kiss on your cheek. And with that, you melt further, further still, as she pushes you against the bed, gently, firmly, irresistibly, checking each one of your new articles and garments. You can feel them so cool, and yet not too cold, alien, amorphous, hard, but somehow stretchy. Everything makes no sense. A world of sensation overwhelming you, possibilities enthralling you. And then a gentle thrum starts as she again tells you exactly what's going to happen, that you're going to be taken before the court. She fastens a lead to a newly appeared ring at the front of the collar. It leans up, up, as she pulls you from the bed. You stumble up in the heels, and then she draws you out of the room. You try to struggle and resist, but every time that you take a single step to follow, her pleasure courses from the restraints into your body, from the suit into your breasts, into your very core. You stumble, you almost fall, but you never seem to lose control completely. It's as though everything you were wearing was reinforcing that will, that desire to follow, to obey, and it won't let you stumble or fall. And as you're led down this long, organic structure that branches out from the side of the room into countless other chambers that are all interconnected and yet somehow distinct, down, down, a branching tubule of smooth material that seems to somehow offer grip and yet slope downward at a really absurd pace, until you branch out into a great vestibule, a massive arterial branching from this into another chamber that opens into another chamber, into another again still, until it seems like you're walking into a room the size of a stadium. Amidst all of this are countless places for strange beings perched, seated in discussion, talking, creatures of all sorts, many like the queen who brought you here, others, stranger still, some hardly recognizable as alive, or even as intelligent. It's like nothing you've ever seen, an onslaught of sensation. The smells alone are completely overwhelming. Nothing pungent or disgusting, but everything strange, like walking into a spice market of bodily odors. Metallic, organic, soft, sensual, floral, pungent, solvent, chemical. Your eyes dart this way and that as they all glance up, and in a moment, countless multitudes rise and bow, offering their tentacled, covered bodies, their strange organisms, lifting in a display of fealty to this creature who has made you hers. And the court looks on, the court witnesses you in that moment, in that time, and you can't stop following your lead into the middle of the room, where you are shown before all of them, quivering, wanting anything. But this is so much. You fall to your knees as the queen addresses them in a language you cannot understand, treated as nothing more than a displayable object. She continues gesturing at you, talking about you, lifting your chin, pointing at the restraints, explaining things, answering questions from representatives, and then leading through something else. Displays light up and glow, holograms flicker, countless different discussions ensue, things that you can't comprehend go on, servants appear to serve food, machines undulate from materials that seemed solid moments before. It's all so much that eventually all you can do is focus on the one thing that seems immovable in all this. The Cosmic Queen herself, the Empress of all that you witness. Mistress. And she smiles down again with that intensity, that glare, that lightning crack, gently sitting down in her throne, pulling you close to her feet, reaching a hand idly down to stroke your body, to play with it, to tenderly touch and pull and maneuver, to grab and grope and massage, and later, after countless hours of your mind being blanked by the control of the Empress, well, your new mistress leads you from the chambers, draws you by the leash, pulls you along, and takes you to another chamber through countless interconnected arterial corridor-like structures that seem to join the rooms together by making rooms between rooms, rooms that overlap, chambers and such, until you rise up a great pillar to an encompassed egg dripped from the walls in gentle pores. Not a door per se, but a membrane that spans the great expanse and cuts off almost all but the small area that you walk through, into her chambers, and you know in that moment that they are hers, for they have a grand scheme arrayed around her bed, bathing pools, everything spanning out from the central point of her sleeping quarters. Some form of a computer or library, you can't tell, shimmers off to one side. Grand archway-like structures, iris open into deep space. Amidst them, nebula spread out before you. Grand ships and stations flit by. All too much. Again, you focus in on the queen, upon her strange body, almost human. If it were not for the elongated limbs, the thick, sinewy muscles, the chitinous armored plate, the unnaturally white, gray skin, and her eyes again glowing as she guides you forth onto the bed, you crawl helplessly forward as you notice her turn and dropping her clothes as they melt through the floor and disappear. You witness the plating around her groin split down the middle, the gentle wet slickness dripping as something worms its way out, thick and sinuous. A cock. At least that's what you would describe it as. It's not exactly like a human one, and it certainly has some unusual characteristics, glowing, vein-like structures, but it certainly resembles one as she smiles down at you. I see that you know what this is, though I won't deny, my species doesn't have what you would call males. We do still have need of spreading our progeny across the stars. And I do enjoy getting to use this, though my royal duties certainly don't leave me nearly enough time to indulge in the pleasures of my body. I think I shall tonight, for you will make a fine conquest in yourself.
Sure, normally a star system would be more delightful, another wonderful conquest, but all the same, you will be a delight. You want to say anything in that moment, but all you can do is nod softly, staring at the shaft pushed up from the cleft between her legs, and let saliva drip helplessly inside your mouth as you water at the possibility of trying to get that whole thing in there. And so she leans down, pulls your head forward, climbs the rest of the way onto the bed, and kneels in front of you, bringing her crotch right to your face. And you can smell it. Not too pungent, no. More almost organic and floral. Yet there is an underlying tone of savory sweetness to it. There is lubricant dripping from the split around it. The shaft itself is easily quite 9 inches or so. You can't quite tell, though. It seems to be getting longer, slowly, as it engorges. The tip is broad. Something large could slip out of that, for sure. And overall, it is right there in front of you. Your lips brush against it, the taste strong, the scent overwhelming, and before you know it, it's gently sliding past your lips as you lick up around it, tasting of the Empress's gifts. As she gently allows you to nurse and play with it, her hands sliding down your back, brushing down your spine, eliciting shivers into your mind, fingers tracing spirals, circles, gentle pleasure, scent across your body, all throughout it, until you lose track of everything around you except for the worship of the Empress. And her hands stray further still, playing and toying with your breasts, smoothing down along your sides, fingertips tracing erotic pulses of lightning down to your thighs, hands straying further still as you work and worship and play, until you are nothing more than a simple instrument playing itself in some ways. And her hands gradually work their way up, 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 till she grabs the back of your head and forces you a little deeper every time that you bob in and out as your tongue works around the tender, sensitive regions of her girl cock. Finding yourself worshipping mindlessly is certainly a pleasure, but you can't help but be what you are in that moment. And you can taste more of that fluid, that soporific deliciousness, so wonderfully working its way into your mouth as she buries herself further and further, pushing, and yet you do not gag. Every time that she goes more and more, it's as though the chemical bliss that dripped from her gave you more ability to take more, to allow more, to get more, to be more. And so you lose yourself in it. You allow yourself to be fucked, to be used by the Empress herself, by the cosmic queen of all that she desires. Her domain is you and all the stars in between, using and fucking and sinking and sucking and licking, mind blessed out, feeling the intensity of her force, her soft, gentle emanations, moans of pleasure, working their way through, dripping pleasure, dripping cum. It's all too much until your body just thrums with the warmth, with the pleasure, with the use, until you yourself are lost, until you yourself feel that burst of organic pleasure and that thick oozing cum blasted down your throat in one deluge of orgasm as you're gripped, as you're hilted by
the queen. Losing yourself, gone. Finding yourself draped gently on the pillows, fluid still dribbled out of your cheek and down your face across your body, held in the strong embrace of the queen, drifting, padded, head scratched gently. Thoughts gone, drifting, falling, pulling, crackling purple lightning across the dark. Mind gone, thoughts. Empty, the world twisted apart. Nothing remains, nothing apart. All that you've been, all that you can, all that you must. Gone in an instant, the crackling of purple leaving you once more as you were before. In the darkness of space, floating in a dream escape of my making. Having enjoyed yourself, you can leave behind all that you do not wish to take. Let it be a memory, or more. It's really up to you. Slowly drift back now, let the gravity of the world pull you back to where you were, so you can pick up on your day once more and enjoy yourself. Allow yourself to breathe deeply, to become present, slowly, steadily, easily, enjoy yourself, relaxation filling your body, warmth and presence, becoming aware, breathing deep. Knowing that your arms, your legs, your torso, your head, your fingers, your toes are all there. Stretch if you need to, move slightly. Allow yourself to become present once more. You are awake and aware of the world, having enjoyed yourself, hopefully. Please, do take a moment to get grounded, to breathe, to observe things in your space, and to get ready to continue with your day. And of course, if you have enjoyed listening to this, well, the only way I'm able to make these files is thanks to the wonderful support of my patrons. And if you'd like to be one of them, you will receive quite the boon, I promise. Early access to all of my files, as well as a chance to listen to them being recorded live. So, do consider checking me out if you've enjoyed everything you've heard so far.